20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. Happy Saturday. Hope your weekend is treating you well. Today, we are going to be taking a really big look at the Packers' new safety positions, box safety, post safety, what it means, what they do, what type of players would fit in those specific roles. So I'm really excited to dig into that today. Before we get there, quick shout out to Vijay Swearingen and Mark and Linda Jackson for signing up to become Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Appreciate you guys a ton for that. We also had a couple of news and notes from Friday. No big roster transactions, no big releases, no early signings from players who have been released, but Green Bay did get three compensatory picks awarded to them on Friday, a fifth round pick, a sixth round pick, and a seventh round pick. Now, Over the Cap does such a tremendous job at anticipating exactly what the comp picks are going to be. In fact, they do such a good job that the main person who does it over on their site was a little bit off on a couple of the projections, and he's legitimately wondering, at least as of recording this, he actually believes that the NFL might have got the compensatory selections wrong on a couple of them, and that a couple of people who were awarded fourth-round picks or a couple of teams that were awarded fourth-round picks should have been awarded third-round picks. And you might think, well, all right, that's a little crazy. Clearly, the NFL does a better job of this than somebody online running, you know, Over the Cap or, you know, doing an article over there. But the NFL has gotten this wrong in the past. This has been something that they've actually had to re-award picks because they've gotten the formula wrong. And the weird sort of crazy thing is it's not like the formula is like out there in the public. And it's just this really weird situation and scenario. But it's going to be interesting just to see what happens. I'm sure probably it just stays as is. And maybe Over the Cap has to refigure their settings a little bit. Who knows? But it's interesting that they're usually like so right on it. And even in the past, like when they've been right, sometimes the NFL has gotten it wrong. But I digress. The Packers received three picks. It's what Over the Cap expected it to be. When we've said in the past that the Packers were going to have 11 selections overall in the draft, that took into consideration these expected three compensatory selections. Again, they received a fifth round pick, a sixth round pick, and a seventh round pick. Pick 168 overall, which was compensation for losing Allen Lazard in free agency. That was a fifth round pick. Pick 219 overall for losing Jerron Reed, which is a sixth round pick. And then pick 255 overall, a seventh round pick, which was for losing Dean Lowry. So the subtractions of Allen Lazard, Jerron Reed, and Dean Lowry going to other teams awarded the Green Bay Packers three compensatory selections. Again, a fifth, a sixth, and seventh, 168, 219, and 255 overall. That again does leave Green Bay with 11 comp picks, or sorry, 11 total picks. And those 11 total picks are pick 25, pick 41, pick 58, 88, 91, 125, 168, 201, 219, 245, and 255. A lot of selections for Brian Gutekunst, a lot of flexibility, a lot of ability to probably move up and down the draft board, which I'm sure he is going to want to do plenty of. And if you're wondering, where does that rank? How does Green Bay rank out of all 32 teams in, you know, regard to draft value overall? Well, I'm happy you asked. Tankathon, per their valuations, puts the Packers as having the fifth most draft capital of any team in the NFL. So that is going to be huge. I believe, I didn't check it for sure, but I believe last time I checked it, it was likely to be the most draft capital of anyone. I think that was that far in the playoffs. So you've got this team that competed at a high level a season ago. That was, again, a quarter away from an NFC championship game, and now is adding the fifth most draft capital of any team in the NFL to their roster. They're not losing anyone of significance. We've gone through the Packers pending free agents. You're not losing any sleep over any potential losses on that list. They're potentially going to release David Bakhtiari and Devondre Campbell. Bakhtiari played one game last year. Devondre Campbell did not have a good season. Royce Newman could get released. That's not of any concern. And now they're going to have some money to spend in free agency. This should, doesn't always go this way, but it should only continue to get better for Green Bay. And that should have everyone extremely excited. But 11 overall picks, three of which are comp picks, and Goody has a ton of draft capital to play with, maneuver with, and it should make for a very fun and entertaining 2024 NFL draft, including, of course, five selections in the top 100 overall. Let's go to our main topic, though, and that is this Packers safety position or positions, the post safety, the box safety, and how they're going to be utilized in Green Bay, what it means in the Jeff Hafley system, what traits you need, and then what players in free agency that are available fit those spots and potentially fit those traits. So again, we're going to be looking at what the Packers need at safety, how the Packers will play safety, and what players potentially fit those roles. So in this Packers defense, in a cover one, again, you're going to have a post safety, which is your cover one safety, your deep safety, and then your box safety. That in general is likely what you're going to have. Now, a couple things that we need to point out very quickly here. Not everything is going to be cover one. It's great that Jeff Hafley has his calling card. It's great that he wants to play cover one. It's great that he wants to play press. It's great that he wants to play more man coverage. But as we've talked about, you can't just do one thing in the NFL. And to an extent, that kind of is what got Joe Barry in trouble. He wanted to play his one bend but don't break, corners off, and it almost didn't matter who he was going against. There was, of course, exceptions to that, but for the most part, he was kind of playing that same system over and over and over and over again, and it just, no matter what it is, as Matt LaFleur said in the Jeff, right before the Jeff Hafley press conference, when asked, you know, about how this defense works and, you know, is this a defense he wants to run? And he said very clearly, as an offensive guy, I believe I can poke holes into any defense. And he's 100% correct. Every offense has a way to poke holes in any defense that is out there. If you run the right stuff and execute it in the right way, there are holes in every single defense. And every NFL team is good enough where if you just run press man cover one over and over and over and over again, they will pick you apart. There are enough great plays to beat that sort of coverage, and they're going to break you down over the course of the game. There are going to have to be instances in which they play cover two, cover three, cover four, cover six, man, zone, press, off, all of it. So they're still going to have to be well-rounded in everything. But we are sort of assuming that Jeff Hafley's base defense, if you will, I'm not talking about 4-3, 3-4, anything. I'm talking about like his core defense is going to be more of a man coverage, cover one system. So we can expect more of that. And I think that's what we have to look at when we're sort of evaluating what type of safeties he's going to use and how those safeties would fit in Green Bay as we look at the free agent market. So what is cover one? I know plenty of you will probably know this already, but for those who don't, let's go over it. Cover one is a man coverage defense. And again, you have basically what is usually considered a low hole safety, which is your box safety, and your post safety. This could also be considered your deep safety, your center fielder, your single high safety. There's a variety of different terms for it, but that's going to be your post safety. Your low hole is your box safety closer to the line of scrimmage. How this defense is designed, I'll point out here again, there are always exceptions, and there is nuance to this, and there's a variety of different ways that you can do things on defense, and defensive coordinators are constantly coming up with new ways to do things. But on its most basic level, what you're trying to do is funnel everything inside. Think of it this way. When you've got two high safeties, right? You've got two high safeties and you're trying to take away big plays down the course of the field. And you're leaving that middle of the field a little bit more vacated, a little bit more open, depending on how those two safeties play, of course. But assuming you have the two sides of the field, that middle of the field is going to be a little bit more open for teams to attack. What you're doing in a cover one man system is you are funneling everything to the inside, where now you've got a box safety that is playing in the middle of the field in the intermediate area, and you've got a deep post safety that's playing in the middle of the field in the deep area. That middle of the field becomes much more crowded as a corner on the outside more often than not. What you're doing is you are trying to funnel everything back inside. Think of it from like a edge defender standpoint. On a run play, when you're setting the edge, you are setting the edge on the two sides of the tackles so that everything has to get funneled back inside to your big behemoth defensive tackles and your linebackers that are paid to tackle the ball carrier. So in the run game, you are setting the edge, funneling everything inside to your Kenny Clarks, your TJ Slaytons, your, you know, Devondre Campbells, your Quay Walkers, or whoever ends up in for Campbell. If he's gone, you get the point. On the cover one man-to-man defense, again, more often than not, as a corner, you're playing with, you know, outside leverage, you know, to funnel them back inside. and you're funneling everything inside to get everything sort of going in the middle of the field where you've got these two additional safeties. And that's kind of what you're hoping for, is that they're going to have to utilize the middle of the field a little bit more. And what happens is the middle of the field is more crowded. And now that's where more, you know, interceptions, turnovers, tip balls, chaos can happen. And as a defense, you want a little bit more chaos. You want more turnovers. You want more unclean throwing lanes, all of it. If you're thinking of like having to throw in the middle of the field, especially now that you have a box safety and you've got a deep safety, if you can funnel everything inside, now you've got to throw over those big 300-pound, 6'4", 6'5 defensive linemen. You've got linebackers in the middle of the field. You've got a box safety in the middle of the field. You potentially have got a slot corner rolling around in that area. You've got a deep safety, not to mention the corners that are maybe in a trail technique behind some of those wide receivers. Like, there is just everything going on in the middle of the field. So in the simplest idea of this cover one defense, and again, in very basic terms, you're funneling things inside and you're strong in the middle of the defense. But of course, where you are strong, you are weak in other aspects of it. So while you're trying to funnel everything inside, where you are weak is potentially on the deep outsides. Remember, instead of having two safeties in a two safety system over the top, where you are covering both sides of the field, where, you know, maybe it's a little bit weaker in the middle of the field, it's going to be stronger on the deep half of the field, and it's going to be stronger on the outsides. Because as a corner, you are going to play it so that, you're always going to have safety help over the top if you've got those two safeties there. So the sidelines, the deep sidelines are tougher to hit. And, you know, sometimes that's almost like encouraging, again, throwing over the middle of the field, which, again, some more chaos can still happen. But now in this cover one man system, you've got your deep center field safety and you've got your corners playing up, usually in a press man sort of situation. And now those deep outsides of the field are where you can be a little bit more vulnerable. There's other weaknesses too. If you've got a great route running wide receiver against a corner who maybe isn't as good and he just wins quickly inside, before all that chaos happens in the middle of the field, before you can sort of route them to the linebackers and the safeties, they could just win on a quick slant and that wide receiver could get some big yardage and there's some potential run after the catch ability there too. So that's something, that's why, it can vary as to how you're playing some of those players. But it's simplest terms, the weak spots are those far outside, throws. But you have to look at it this way too. If you are, in fact, trying to play them to go to the inside, you're making it harder for those, you know, wide receivers to get up the field on those far outside hashes. In addition, if you are pressing them, what you're trying to do is disrupt the rhythm of the offense. And within that 5 yards where you can really sort of, attack and get your hands on them and try to disrupt them, what you're trying to do is make it so that it takes them a while to get down the field. And if that's the case, if you can actually, you know, hold them up closer to the line of scrimmage so they can't get down the field, now it's going to take longer for those wide receivers to get down there. And the longer it takes for them to get down there, what happens? The quarterback has to sit in the pocket longer while those routes develop, and you have more opportunity for sacks or just the ability to get to the quarterback and cause chaos and hopefully force fumbles, get sacks, all of those sort of things. Meanwhile, what also happens is if you are throwing deeper down the field, in an ideal situation, you have that single high safety still. And if they're good enough, cough, cough, Xavier McKinney, if they're good enough as that single high safety, even when you throw deep down the sidelines, you might have a safety that can range over and still make a play on that ball. And it might not be quite as open as you maybe thought it would be, especially if you have a really good safety patrolling that center field and that has the ability to get to both sidelines at any given time. So again, in its very simplest, easiest form, usually a man coverage, usually a press man coverage, usually trying to funnel things to the inside, usually have that center field safety, box safety. The strength here is that with that box safety, you have an extra player in the box to stop the run. You've got an extra player in the inside box and that, but with that box safety to take away the short and intermediate routes on the inside, you're trying to funnel everything inside, take a lot of that away. And then again, even if they are attacking those deep outside areas of the field, your corners are set up to take away, jam them, and make it so that they're disrupted and not getting down the field easily. And even if they are, you've got a center field safety that, if he's good enough, can range to those sides and maybe still make a play on the ball, whether it be a pass breakup or an interception. Or worst case, even if the receiver does catch the ball, at least it's a tackle and not a touchdown if the safety is able to get there and make a play on the pass catcher in one way or the other. So that's where its sort of strength is. That's where its sort of weakness is. Again, I will say this a million times over. We could spend seminars on this, and there are, of course, nuances and details and different ways of doing all of this that should go without saying, but we're kind of going over the basic, most simplest terms of this today. However, we also have to remember here, as our deep safety and box safety, that the leverage of the corners also is going to matter in some of this. And this is where, again, it can get a little bit more nuanced. If the corner is playing inside leverage, right, that means that the outside is going to be more available. And you can play that way too. What that is going to do is that's going to take away some of those in-breaking routes and some of those slants. It's not going to funnel things to the outside. And dependent upon which wide receivers you're going against, you might want to force them to go, you know, down the field. Or if you're playing Zach Wilson or somebody that has a, you know, propensity to not be able to throw the ball down the field, and it's all in-breaking, easy crossing routes and things like that, then you might want to take away those in-breaking routes and use that inside leverage and force the quarterback to throw it down the field and force those receivers to win downfield while also utilizing the sidelines as your friend. Once again, these are longer developing plays. You're going to throw down the field. It takes longer for those to develop. You have more opportunity to maybe get to the quarterback. It's a little bit of a race between the quarterback and how fast he can get the ball out to his wide receiver. And then again, you have the sideline as your friend in those situations. So even if they are throwing down the field, they have to throw a 35, 40-yard ball down the field with accuracy, with timing, that the wide receiver actually beats the corner, that they throw it so that it's not out of bounds and that the wide receiver catches it and comes down and survives the catch and all of it. And this is where I've said, I am ready. I am so ready to, in those situations where you're doing everything you can and you're playing everything the right way, and the wide receiver beats the corner to the outside, gets up the field, the quarterback makes a perfect sideline throw down the field, 2 feet in, you know, gets his feet down and survives the catch, and the safety comes in and hits him hard to the out of bounds area and everything like that. And he makes the big play and it's a 35, 40 yard catch. I am so ready to tip my cap and say, well done to the opposing offense. If you show that you can do that over and over and over again, we'll have to change something. But you just completed a very difficult pass with a high degree of difficulty. You blocked everything up front. You beat the corner. You beat the safety. You had a perfect throw. The receiver made a great catch. He got his feet in, survived the catch, all of it. There's a lot that has to happen for all of that to go right. And sometimes it's going to happen, but that's okay. But that's if you're playing an inside leverage, you're going to allow a little bit more of that, and you're going to force the quarterback to make a perfect throw. And again, in a lot of situations, if you have a quarterback who isn't as adept at throwing down the field, you might want to challenge him a little bit more and say, hey, we're going to challenge you to beat us and make that perfect throw down the sidelines. We don't think you can do it. The next is if you, again, play that outside leverage. If you're playing that outside leverage, you're trying to take away those plays on the field. You're forcing more of the in-breaking routes. You're helping everything inside. Those box safeties and post safeties are going to be lurking in the middle of the field. And you're forcing everything into the strength of the defense, again, where you've got to throw over those defensive linemen in the chaos of all the linebackers and the box safety in front of a free safety or a post safety, whatever you want to call it. And again, there's a lot that can go wrong if you're consistently and constantly forcing things in the middle of the field. So now that we kind of have an idea of what this defense is doing, cover one, what the safeties are doing, what the corners are doing, and how they're sort of working in tandem, what we need to do is sort of define what's the box safety actually responsible for and what's the post safety responsible for. The box safety is going to be focused on a variety of different things dependent upon what the actual play call is. They could be focused in a zone in intermediate crossers, slants, in routes. They could be focused and have responsibility in the screen game, or at least keeping an extra eye on it. They could have to be aware of draws, whether it be QB draws or running back draws. They will have assignments in run defense. They could be a spy on the quarterback. They could be manned up with a running back or a tight end, or even a wide receiver or a tight end or running back in the slot. They could be have, again, legitimate man-to-man coverage responsibilities. They could blitz. They can do a variety of different things from that role. So even though you're a box safety, and maybe that's a little bit of the lesser valued of the two, you have a lot of different things that you could have to do. Spy, run defense, man-to-man coverage on wide receivers, running backs, or tight ends, blitzing. There's a lot on your job description, and you better be a pretty good player. The next is the post safety. And what you're looking at here, and where the box safety is, again, focused on the intermediate and the short area and closer to the line of scrimmage, the deep safety, more often than not, has to be the deepest of the deepest of the deep. And you might say, well, why is that? You know, we see the Greg Williams, you know, defenses where the safety is like 30 yards deep, and that's probably a little bit too much, but you have to be the deepest of the deep, and you have to be able to take a good angle and sprint to everything. Teams are good at beating cover one defenses. What they're going to do is they're going to send a lot of vertical routes up the field. And as a safety, there might be a vertical to the right, there might be a vertical to the left, and you're going to try to read the quarterback's eyes and shoulders and determine if they're going deep, if they're going left, if they're going right. But you have to be able to play deep and then take a perfect angle and sprint up and try to make that play. And if you are at the wrong depth, or if you're leaning one side or the other, and then they throw to the other side, you are in no man's land and you are not in a position to make that play. So the reason you're getting deep in that spot is so that you can take the perfect angle to the football and go make a play regardless of where the play is going, and making sure that you are the last line of defense and that nobody's getting behind you, nobody's getting deeper than you, and that you have the ability to make the play on the ball from almost anywhere that that ball could be potentially thrown. You don't have usually a run responsibility as the last line of defense as a safety, meaning that you don't have like a gap. You don't have an alley. You don't have something where you're supposed to come up and play more often than not. And, you know, it's not to say that you aren't going to have to tackle, because of course you're the last line of defense. That's going to be something that's going to be super important. You have to be able to split the difference on vertical routes. So kind of what I was saying is, if there are two vertical routes, you've got to be able to be centered on it and not lean one way or the other, and just kind of make sure that you're staying centered. If they go left, you're still in a position to make the play. If they go right, you're still in a position to make the play, and you can't necessarily tip your hand. You've got to disguise it well as well. And then the ability to read the quarterback is super important. The quarterbacks are really good and they're really smart, at least the good ones are, at really, and that's where we talk about all the time of a quarterback looking off a safety. That's usually that single high safety. And what he's trying to do is manipulate him. He's going to show that he's going to go left. He's going to use his eyes. He's going to use his shoulders. He's going to use his posture. And then he's going to come back and he's going to throw right. And just as that safety starts leaning, oh, the quarterback's throwing left and deep, left and deep, left and deep. He's going to throw right and deep, and he's going to throw it off. So again, that's where you have to be super smart, and you have to read the quarterback, and you also have to not fall for the bait, even if they are trying to get you to go in that direction. That's why the best of the best quarterbacks in the world are able to do that and sort of manipulate the safeties. But the safeties have to be really smart and know that, hey, they could be willing to manipulate as well. That's where you're almost like a poker player looking for tells at that position. The other thing here that we need to talk about is disguising at the safety position. This is where the versatility of your safeties comes in handy. What I mean by that is, if you start with a box safety and you start with a deep safety, well, you're more often than not telling the offense, oh, they're in cover one. And if you play against a smart quarterback and a smart offense, they're going to be able to notice that, check into a play that's a cover one beater, and attack you correctly and rightfully. And again, good offense with a good plan, knowing what the defense is going to have a great opportunity to beat you. So this is where, yeah, in like a perfect world where, you know, offenses weren't smart, you might just want to line up your deep safety deep, and you might just want to line up your box safety in the box and not have to do a bunch of disguising and running around like a chicken with your head cut off. But this is where some of the versatility between the two can be really important. You might want to show, you know, one of the players as a box safety, and then they might scream out to be the deep safety, and it might be the other way around on the other side. And you're trying to confuse, and you're trying to manipulate, and you're trying to make it so that it's not an easy tell for the opposing offense. And that's where, like, if you've got a safety like that can play, you know, a deep safety, but they can also be good in the box, awesome. And if you've got a box safety that's a good box safety, but they can also be good deep, awesome. And it's not easy to find those players necessarily, but that versatility can come in very handy, and it can make it so that it's easier to disguise things where, all right, they don't know if X player is going to be the box safety and Y player is going to be the deep safety, or vice versa. And a lot of times at the snap, it might look like one's going to go one way and one's going to go the other, and it could completely flip as soon as the snap is made. And that's where some of the times where you get it, where these really good defenses are showing one thing and you think you've got the you know, center field safety identified, and then you go and you do a play action and you turn your back and you turn around and it's completely like you have a snapshot of the defense, you turn around and then you look back and it's totally different by the time you get back from doing the play fake. Really good defenses are very adept at that. And that's where some of that versatility can really come into play for the safeties and the flexibility to play different positions. All right, so let's go over the traits that you need to be a successful box safety in this defense. You want a bigger, more physical, strong tackling player. Doesn't have to be a linebacker size player. In fact, we're seeing more and more safety size players playing linebacker, not the other way around, but you have to be a little bit more of a physical player. If you're going to use this player in the box to make it so that it's easier to stop the run, that's great. And that's a plus for your run defense, but it doesn't matter a whole heck of a lot if they just get washed out or they're not doing their job as a run defender. So you usually want a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical, able to take on some blocks. You do want good instincts. Instincts are going to be super important. We talked about before, you might be a spy. You might be responsible for keeping an eye on screens and draws. You could be in man coverage. You can be in zone coverage. You also have to be able to read the quarterback a little bit. So those instincts are going to be super important. You need to have some speed. Yeah, like, yes, you need to be a physical player, but you have to be able to cover. If you're man-to-man with a tight end and they're Luke Musgrave, good luck. If you're slow, he's just going to run right by you. And, you know, so you're going to have that speed ability too, because you could get caught covering wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, or a variety of different players, both in zone and in man. And that foot speed is going to be very, very important. Coverage ability, we just talked about, you could get manned up in a variety of different situations. So that's going to be important. Your ability to take on blocks. I'm not asking my box safety to go up against a 300-pound lineman and take that block on and then go make a play. That's not what I'm looking for here. But if it's a fullback, can he take on that block and make a play, or at least make it a little bit more difficult? You know, can he take on a halfback or an H-back, I should say? Those are the things that I'm looking for, but you want to see him at least have a level of physicality where he's not just going to get blown off the ball in some of those situations. He has to be a willing run defender. Yes, you're a safety. I bet you'd love to be a playmaker, but you're a box safety and you better be willing to be a run defender first and make sure that they're not getting big yards in the running game. Redirection and change of direction is going to be super important. You could be having to stop on a dime. You could have to go in a variety of different directions. Your head's going to have to be on a swivel and you might be going one way and then you're going to have to quickly reverse the other. So those change of direction skills are going to be super important. And then closing speed. You might be coming off the edge as a blitzer and it could be a run the opposite way. So to close that back door and go make a play on the running back and closing could be huge. You could be a blitzer. That closing speed could be huge. Or you could be, you know, just the person that needs to close that last gap, and that closing speed could be huge. So those are the traits you need as a box safety. Again, big physical, strong tackler, good instincts, good speed, coverage ability, taking on blocks, run defense willingness, redirection and change of direction, and closing speed. Some of the best box safeties that I can remember, Troy Polamalu is one that easily comes to mind. He was just an absolute terror as a box safety. Bob Sanders, the Colts safety too, he was another one. There have been some really great ones over the years, but those are always the two that kind of come to mind for me, and certainly Troy Polamalu, number one on that list. Some safeties on the market that could fit that. I do think Justin Simmons, we talked about him as a post safety. Ross Uglum brought up a great fact of like, hey, I think he might just be a box safety at this point. And that could be, I think he could do that. Cameron Curl could play both, but he could play in the box. Julian Blackman could play both, but he can definitely play in the box. Jordan Fuller, same thing, both, but definitely could play in the box. Jeremy Chin is a sole box safety, if that. Kevin Byard, box safety. Jamal Adams, I'm not saying go in that direction, but if you bring him in, he's a box safety only. Jayron Kearse, he'd be a cheaper box safety option that's had some good years in Dallas. Those are your box safety sort of options. Let's move to post safety. And Jeff Hafley was asked in his press conference, what's a post safety look like in your defense? And he said, quote, I want a guy who can erase things. We've got to eliminate explosive plays when we play this defense. If a run hits up the middle, this guy has got to come out of the middle of the field with his hair on fire and has to be able to go get a guy down. I think that position has to be a guy with high ball production, meaning he's got to be able to intercept the ball. And he later would joke of like, so basically I want the perfect safety, and, you know, kind of quipped about it a little bit. But here's what you want in a general sense from traits for that post safety. They have to have speed. I talked about it yesterday when I watched the Justin Simmons tape. He's lost a little bit of that foot quickness. He can't quite get sideline to sideline from that deep safety position. He's not making those center field plays that Xavier McKinney is making. And you have to have that ability. You can't get caught flat-footed. I talked about that as well with Simmons. Speed is still super important. And you might just like have a situation where you get caught one-on-one in the open field against a Devin Achane, against a, you know, Christian McCaffrey, whomever it might be, somebody with super speed, Tyreek Hill. You've got to have some speed that you can take the angle, cut it off, and actually make a play on them. Straight line speed is going to be important, but it can't just be straight line speed. That change of direction, that body control, the fluid hips. You might be, what do we talk about? A quarterback's going to manipulate you one way. You've got to be able to go that way, flip your hips, and then quickly get back the other way. And you've got to be spry in the open field so that you can break down, make a tackle, and be that last line of defense. But that change of direction, fluid hips, super, super important. The ability to anticipate and read opposing quarterbacks is of the utmost importance. You have to be a super instinctual player. Tackling, also of the utmost importance. You have to be able to break down in space. We talked about that Darnell Savage play against Christian McCaffrey. Didn't make it, ends up being a touchdown. There's a great play by Justin Simmons when I'm watching his tape. He's one-on-one with Breece Hall. Breece Hall is giving him a move. Justin Simmons breaks it down, makes a play. It's a 12-yard gain, but it could have been a 50, 60-yard touchdown, but Simmons made sure that it wasn't. That ability to break down in space and tackle and be the last line of defense, super important. You have to be super reliable because of being the last line of defense. Halfley talked about the playmaking and ball skills. That's going to be important. The first step, right? You're that center field safety. They throw to the right. That first step has to be able to get you over to that ball as quickly as possible. And not only do you need a quick first step, you have to make sure you're not taking a misstep. If he throws and you take a step left and he's going right, you're just screwed. So it's a quick first step and it can't be a bad misstep or a false step on that first play. You have to be able to play the cat and mouse game with a quarterback, and football intelligence is what's going to be ultra important here. Rallying to the football, just because you're the last line of defense, you still, once a play is you know, being made and there's a whether it's a run play or something in the middle of the field, you still have to be able to rally to the football. You also have to have a short memory. You're going to give up some big plays. It's part of the job description. You're going to get beat sometimes and you just can't let it affect you, and you got to come back and play that very next down the next time you're out on the field. And then, of course, leadership and communication is going to be super important as well. Some of the best, you know, deep safeties in our lifetime. Earl Thomas was phenomenal in Seattle. Nick Collins in Green Bay, phenomenal. Ed Reed with the Ravens, phenomenal. Those are some of the all-time greats to do it. Some free safeties on the open market. Xavier McKinney is the cream of the crop. He would be that perfect post safety. Jordan Fuller can do it. Cameron Curl can do it. Julian Blackman can do it. Justin Simmons. Tayshawn Gibson would be a little bit more of a value signing. And then same with Alohi Gilman, although he did have a very nice year a season ago. What happens if you have players in those spots that don't have those traits? Well, you end up with a deep safety that can't get to the spots that they need to, or that isn't making the tackles as the last line of defense. And those turn into explosive plays. And you end up being a defense that is giving up a ton of explosives. You need that defensive safety, that last line of defense, that post safety to be super reliable, and that he can get to his spots on his field that he needs to get to. If he doesn't have the right traits, if he can't do those things, you're going to be in trouble. From a box safety standpoint, if he can't do the things that he needs to do, your run defense is going to be a whole heck of a lot worse. Probably your ability to shut down things in the middle of the field on those intermediate and short crossing routes is going to be worse. And you just end up with weaknesses overall in your defense. The good news here is that there are plenty of great free agent safeties that are out there to fill both of these positions. The harder one to find is that post safety. The easier one to find is that box safety. And just look at the job description that we said for the post safety. It was a whole heck of a lot longer than it was for the box safety. So you're going to need to find that one first. I think you can find the box safety a little bit more easy. And, you know, even if you get past the draft and past training camp, you're still going to be able to find someone. But it's going to be the utmost important to find that deep piece that's going to play the back end of the defense that hopefully can be a playmaker and completely change this defense and make it so that Jeff Halfley has the weapons that he needs to make this defense successful going into his first season as a defensive coordinator. That is going to do it for me today. Obviously, a lot of nerdy safety talk and cover one talk and defense talk. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. A lot of safeties out there that can fit those needs, and hopefully Goody is aggressive in going out and getting those pieces that he needs. I'm excited to see who they end up with. They're going to change the safety room, and I think in a significant way in some capacity via free agency, the draft, or more likely both. But let's see who they end up with and how they fit in this defense based on a lot of the stuff that we talked over today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shibra Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, and David Prendergast. Appreciate you guys a ton. I'll see you tomorrow. Until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.